We tend to only associate with people within our own denomination. We tend to only associate with people who subscribe to our own biblical worldview. And we tend to separate ourselves from people who don't share our biblical worldview. And this, to me, has created so much division, unnecessary division in the body.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's today's message.
Well, our guest speaker today is Montese Peterson. He is a public speaker, an apologist, a Bible teacher, and a traveling minister of the gospel. He is a former Jehovah's Witness who has counseled many Jehovah's Witnesses and helped them come to new life in Christ. He is also an entrepreneur and a business owner. There's nothing this man can't do, I think, here. But I think you're going to like him. But if you don't, I don't advise you to get into an argument with him, because he also has 4 martial arts black belts. So don't advise that at all. So with that, we are very pleased to have him with us here today. So please welcome Minister Montese Peterson.
Thank you. Good morning. And don't worry, I don't believe in using martial arts for anything like that. It's kind of funny. All right, guys, thank you so much for having me here this morning. It was a long drive, longer than I thought, but it was a cool drive. It was a nice morning, so it was okay. It was fun. But I am glad to be here. And anytime I get to travel and minister, it is always a joy to be in the house of God, no matter where I am at. There's so many houses of worship throughout this country. And just a chance to meet my brothers and sisters and meet God's people, it's always a joy for me. Different faces, and people are so kind. When I got here this morning, people were just so kind to me here. So I really want to thank you guys for being so kind. Where's Mary? Where is she? She gave me a big hug when I came in today. So I really appreciate that. I really appreciate the warmth. And I do want to thank my friend Don, who I met some years ago at a conference. And we've kept in touch ever since. And I've been on his show a few times. And I've called him when I've had some Bible questions about stuff. So I thank you for your friendship and a lot of the wisdom that I've gotten from you over the years. I thank you for that. And I thank you, Pastor, for allowing me the honor to be in front of your church today, because it is an honor and it's a very humbling experience to stand before God's people, and it is a big responsibility. So I thank you. And you guys have a really good pastor. I got a chance to talk to him yesterday. And with the courses that he's teaching here, this 4-year program, I wish churches would do that. I travel to so many churches, they have nothing like that in place. You guys would be shocked how much they don't know. And when you're being offered something like this, I know sometimes Sunday school, getting up early, and people don't want to get up early sometimes to come to those things. When you have something like that being offered, you guys need to get up and be here. Trust me, churches would be dying to have this kind of a program. Okay, so I would encourage you guys, you should come. And it sounds like an awesome program, so I commend you for that. Okay, awesome. Okay, guys, so as I get started, my intent this morning is not to change your minds on anything. I don't intend to change the way you think about anything. My objective is really more to challenge the way you think about things and maybe challenge the way you see things a little bit. And in doing so, I would just ask that you guys please give me a little latitude, a little room to do that, and even some grace. And as I am up here this morning, I just ask that you pray for me as I pray for you. And as I talked to Renee when I came in this morning, I wanted to make sure everybody was checked before they came into the sanctuary, so nobody brought tomatoes or rotten eggs or stuff like that to throw. So I hope we're all good with that. And someone says, no, don't worry, we have potatoes or something like that. So, okay, so as I get started here, just a little background so you see how I came to where I am today. I was raised Jehovah's Witness, 3rd generation. Spent a lot of my life there until the Lord saw fit to bring me out of that. And that's a whole nother story. But as he brought me out, it would take 3 years or so for me of studying, researching, meditating, meeting one man who helped me out a lot. His name was Pastor Sachs. He was a theological professor at University of Michigan, and he had a church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So he was the only person I trusted. Coming out of a cult like that, you don't trust people, especially when you've been trained not to trust them. So I trusted him for some reason, and he really helped guide me through a lot of my questions in the process. And after like a 3 years of just praying, spending time with the Lord, trusting the Holy Spirit, I came to faith in Christ. So at that point, that's the very short version of that story. Once I came to faith in Christ, I knew it was time for me to, at this point, I never stepped foot in a church, by the way. So now I knew it was time to find a church. So as I ventured out and I started going to churches, I began to see how different they were from the Kingdom Hall in so many ways. Kingdom Hall, no matter where you go in the country, on Sunday, it's the same message being preached. They're singing the same songs. Bible study night, no matter where you go in the country, they're studying the same book. They're on the same chapter. Everything is disseminated from headquarters in New York. And so every Kingdom Hall is the same. Same Bible, same everything. So as I was getting into church, I began to see, well, wait a minute. All these churches are different. Different beliefs, different denominations. They dress different. Kingdom Hall, we all dress the same. Not the same clothes, but there was a dress code, if you will. But I started to see everyone dressed different. They thought different. You could go to one church and there are 10 different translations of the Bible in one church because you were allowed to have your preference. That wasn't the case. So this was all new for me, like all this diversity within the body. So I thought this was beautiful because for me, there's freedom in Christ. And I saw that freedom. And so the more I got into this, I also began to see the challenge that it presented as well. And so this morning, that's really what I want to talk about. So when God created humanity, he created us all to be unique individuals. Would you all agree with that? Okay. Some of us are tall. Some of us are short. Some of us are left-handed like me. Some of us are right-handed. Some of us are green eyes, blue eyes, brown eyes. We think different. We don't all think alike. We like different food, different music, different movies. Some of us like different churches for different reasons. But God created us to be different. We all come from different families, different cultures, different ethnicities, different races. We have our own goals, our own dreams, our own aspirations, and they all differ one from another. With that being said, we also process the world differently. The way we see politics and moral issues, they vary from person to person. God did not create us to be the same. He created us to be unique, and therefore he loves us all uniquely. When each of us came to Christ with our unique backgrounds, unique personalities, and our unique experiences, we all became unique manifestations of Christ. Think about that. We're all unique manifestations of Christ. We're all called to do different things within the body. We present the gospel maybe differently based on who we are, where we come from. When people see us as believers, they should see Christ in us. Would you guys agree with that as well? Because when they meet us, we may be the only representation of Christ that they ever see. But in that, they're going to see it differently in each one of us because we're all different. Hence, we're all different manifestations of Christ. I want to read from Psalms 139, 13 through 14. You alone created my inner being. You knitted me together inside my mother. I will give thanks to you because I have been so amazingly and miraculously made. Your words are miraculous, and my soul is fully aware of this. Jesus' words in Matthew 10. What is the price for two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without our Father knowing it. and the very hairs on your heads are all numbered. Think about that. Every hair on your head is numbered. That's very detailed. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. You are unique, and God loves each one of you uniquely. With that comes this concept of unity versus uniformity. In the midst of our diverse uniqueness, we are all called to unite in one spirit, as one body, in one faith, to the glory of God. That is what we are called to do. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. And if you guys want to keep up, I'll read lots of scripture. It keeps me honest, it keeps me accountable, so that we know that, okay? Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Yet, with that being said, one big prevailing problem within the church is how divided we are and our inability to work effectively with one another as a body. In any given city, there may be several churches on one block. And in the inner cities, because I'm from Michigan, I live like 30 miles outside of Detroit, but I was born and raised in Detroit. Man, there are sometimes four or five churches on a block. They don't know each other. They don't talk to each other. They don't work together to bring any effective change in their communities. They all go to their own places of worship with never, ever communicating with each other. And I found that amazing. Within these churches, most people believe that their pastor is the most anointed man of God ever. And no pastor could ever pastor like their pastor. And if their pastor didn't exist, what would the body do? And I've kind of heard people say similar things to this. And I had to remind them, you do realize this is Christ's church, right? And that before your pastor, the church existed. And when your pastor dies, the church will continue because the church belongs to Christ, right? So sometimes we get so into these things that we miss that we're one body. We miss that. If you're a pastor and you're ministering in any capacity, then I have to believe that God gave you an anointing to do that. And if God gave you an anointing to do that, he gave other pastors the same anointing to do that. A different work, perhaps, yes, but it's the same anointing, same Holy Spirit, same God. We're all under the same God, same anointing. You guys with me so far? Good, no tomatoes yet. Then I'm doing okay. We tend to only associate with people within our own denominations. We tend to only associate with people who subscribe to our own biblical worldview. And we tend to separate ourselves from people who don't share our biblical worldview. And this, to me, has created so much division, unnecessary division in the body. So let me be clear. We are called to be unified in Christ, but we are not called to uniformity. And it's a big difference. One aspect of uniformity is demanding that another party changes or conforms to our way of seeing things and that they agree with us in order to have agreement. It has to be with my point of view. That's uniformity. In other words, how can I make them see things just like me? How can I make them think like me? That comes from a very selfish, arrogant place when people believe that they are right about everything and they expect everyone to agree with their biblical worldview. That's just not realistic. It's It's not realistic. We don't know everything. And to think that we do is very arrogant. We don't. Uniformity does not allow for negotiation or compromise, and it destroys the natural diversity of God. An example of this would be Amish. We've seen Amish people where they have the same clothes, the same suspenders, the same hats. Most of the men, their facial hair is shaved the exact same way. The women wear the same type of dresses, same head coverings. That's uniformity. That is not what we're called to be as Christians. Conversely, unity values differences. It takes the sum of varying parts and unites them to achieve a single goal or purpose. True unity cannot be achieved unless we discard our old tendencies to be right and enforce uniformity on others. It cannot be achieved if we do that. As believers, we are diverse, and therein lies our strength. That is our power, not just in the natural world, but in the spiritual world as well. Our power comes from our uniqueness. It comes from our diversity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. We just talked about this yesterday. We did, yep. So there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. This makes for harmony, and I skipped up here a little bit, but this makes for, I'm in verse 25, this makes for harmony among the members so that all members care for each other. And this is my favorite part. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body. Each of you is a part of it. Think about what he's saying there. No matter what your gift is, no matter what you do, no matter what how you serve, it's all the same God, same Spirit, the same source that is empowering you to do that. No matter how different you may be, it's the same source. Be you a hand, a foot, an eye, we need each other. And I liken this to a sports team, say baseball. Everybody has a different role. You have a catcher, you have a pitcher. What would the pitcher do if there's no catcher there?
Run to the backstop.
Exactly. Then they'd lose the game every time, right? But they're different positions, but they need each other. So what happens if the shortstop scoops up the ball and goes to throw it to first base and there's no first baseman?
Right, exactly.
So we need each other just like they do. They all serve a different role, a different position, but each one is important, equally important. Every one of them. As much as quarterbacks get paid in football, they're like the center of a team. But what happens if there's no receiver to throw the ball to? And there's no one to block him when he's getting ready to throw the ball? Different roles, but they all have to work together to achieve that goal. Does that make sense, guys? Awesome. So the church is the same way. We all need that unity. And as I look out right now, I see some diversity here, even in generations, right? Yeah. We have really hip young people. We have old people with bad hips, all right? But we're all together, guys. We're all unified here. So let me be clear. I'm only speaking now to born-again believers. Okay, when I speak on issues like this, this is an in-house discussion. Okay, I'm not speaking to anyone who's a heretic or someone preaching a different Jesus. They're not a part of our body. So let me be clear. I'm not saying that we're one with people who say they're Christians, but they're heretics. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, so I'm excluding them. My message today is to believers. Let me be clear about that. And so we kind of talked about this yesterday. I'm about to touch on a little bit. So there are essentials of the faith. And for me, as long as we agree on those essentials of the faith, you're my brother and sister. We don't have to agree on everything else. So I listed a few essentials here, and you may add a few or take a few away. But for me, absolutely the deity of Christ. Because when you see people trying to diminish Christ, that's an automatic red flag. Okay? You're not my brother. You're not my sister if you're diminishing Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So if you don't believe that he died and buried and was resurrected, then there's no faith. What do we have? If Jesus simply died and was not resurrected, then he would have went down in history as a great prophet. But the fact that he rose made him who he was or who he is and created a way for us to be saved. It opened up that door. So we have to believe that. The atoning work of Christ on the cross. We have to agree on that, because if we start adding other things into that work, then it changes the whole thing. Does that make sense, guys? Yes. Salvation by grace, not works. Right? So I tell people this all the time. They say, well, what's the difference between Christianity and all other religions? They're all the same. They're all just the same thing leading to the same place. And I say, well, here's the big difference. There's one big, gigantic difference between Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, you name the religion. One big difference. They all believe they have to do something for their God when our God did something for us. That's the big difference. They believe they have to work, they have to sacrifice, they have to pray seven times a day, they have to do a Hajj and go to Mecca, they have to knock on doors. If they don't live a great life, they're reincarnated until they get it right. For us, our God did all that for us. He died for us. We don't have to do anything but serve, worship, be faithful. He did the work. That's the big difference between every religion and ours. Salvation through Jesus Christ alone. There's no other name that you're saved. We have to agree on that. Monotheism, the Trinity, the inerrancy and the canonization of Scripture. So I've heard people say, oh, it's just a good book, like any other book, right? So I'm an author, and I've written a book, and I did bring some with me. They've been in my car the whole weekend. I didn't even take them inside of the thing. I forgot all about that. But a friend of mine once told me, well, your book is just as inspiring as the Bible. There's no difference. Are you kidding me? My book is crap. Are you kidding me? Like, but some people actually think these kinds of things. So for me, this is just a list of seven things that I had, but we at least have to agree on these things, or else I'm not talking to you today, okay? Now, as I've traveled, one thing I've seen is there are things that we will call salvific or that pertain to salvation and things that don't. Those things I'll refer to as peripheral issues or like side issues, and I've seen people divide over these things. An example, types of music, contemporary versus traditional, hymns versus modern worship. Should there just be an organ in the church or a full band in the church? There's divides between younger generations and the music they like, older generations and the music they like. I know people who've chosen churches based on that alone, and people at churches I've seen, once the pastor said, you know what, let's let a drum come in with the piano, they quit the church. Okay? I've seen this happen. One of the most controversial things is spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are mentioned in the New Testament several times. There's some denomination who they interpret this differently. You have, for example, charismatic or Pentecostals who believe in speaking in tongues, and speaking in tongues is very central to their worship. Then you have some who don't believe in that. And then you have the extreme who says, if you do speak in tongues, it's of the devil and you're a heretic. And I know the other extreme that says if you don't speak in tongues, you're a heretic and you don't have the full gospel, right? So I've seen all extremes of that, and I've watched people divide over these things. Another issue is baptism. Denominations do this differently. They have different theologies on this. I've watched heated debates on this, whether or not you can baptize a child, or do you have to be of an age of accountability to understand what you're doing to be baptized? Should you be immersed, water poured on you? Water poured on you, or what's the other one I've seen? Sprinkle. I meant to say sprinkle. Water poured on you, sprinkled, or fully immersed. I've seen people argue over this stuff, and if you're not fully immersed, then you're not really a Christian. You're not really saved. And I've watched people argue over, you have the Jesus-only people who you baptize in Jesus' name only, right? Then you have the Trinitarian people who say you have to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I've watched people argue and divide over things like baptism. Calvinism versus Arminianism. People divide and they argue over these things. And as they do, I've heard them say, well, you're not actually my brother then. Over stuff that has nothing to do with salvation. Alcohol. I know people who won't drink a drop of wine. They won't do anything at all, right? Then I know people say, well, Paul says we can drink moderately as long as we don't stumble our brothers. He talks about this, I think, in Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians. But I've seen all extremes to that. And I've seen them divide over these things and actually argue over these things. And you're not a Christian if you do this. You're not a Christian if you do that. And I find it interesting sometimes when I look at the modern church, Jesus probably couldn't be a Christian today because he drank wine. And Paul wouldn't be welcome because he spoke in tongues. So it's like, where do we go with this, guys? A church where Jesus wouldn't be welcomed over here and Paul wouldn't be welcomed over here. So my question is, what are we really doing? So, and let me say this too. Personally, I do believe in full immersion, just for the record. I do. I don't believe in the sprinkle thing. But I wouldn't divide with someone over that. When you think about the man on the cross next to Jesus who said, I believe who you are, just remember me in your kingdom, right? He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't get baptized. He had no chance to. What happens to someone who accepts Jesus in the middle of a desert? And before they reach their destination, they die. What happens to him? He doesn't get to be with Jesus because he didn't get baptized in the desert? Think about that. But this is stuff we're fighting over. Okay? We don't even want to get into deeper stuff like eschatology and church government and politics in the pulpit, gay marriage, abortion, all these moral issues. That's a whole nother ball game. But we divide over so many things, guys. And what I've learned is this. Most of this stuff that we're dividing over, it's cultural issues. It's preferences. It's biblical interpretation. And as I said earlier, we're not all right about everything. We don't know everything. None of these things are salvific. They don't pertain to salvation. As believers, we should be able to agree to disagree on cultural issues. We should be able to agree to disagree on our preferences. How many people have been married here over 50 years? Wow. Okay. So in 50 years of marriage, have you guys ever disagreed? Okay. So who's been married here between 20 and 30 years? Okay. So not as long as the 50-year people, but have you guys disagreed in 20 years? Never, huh? Okay. So who's been here married 10 years or less? Have you guys ever disagreed in your 10 years or less? Exactly, right? I couldn't agree with myself on what shirt I wanted to wear this morning. Okay? And yet, we're able to still walk in love with our spouse. We're able to still forgive. We're diverse within our own homes. Why can't we do that as a body? Why can't we extend that to one another as a body? I promise you this. If you lived a life if you accept Jesus Christ and you live a faithful life of prayer and service and you've won people to Christ and something happened where you didn't get baptized and you died and had to stand before the Lord, I promise you he's not going to say, get out of here. You didn't get sprinkled. You didn't get baptized. Or you did get baptized, but you got sprinkled? Oh, you're disqualified. You can't come up. Oh, my God. You got sprinkled? Really? So I promise that's not going to happen, guys. I promise you. God searches our hearts, not how wet you are. Okay? He searches our hearts. He doesn't search your music collection. Well, it depends what kind of music you're listening to. I don't know. But he doesn't search your music collection, guys. He doesn't search how much you study and how much Greek you know. He searches your heart. We're fighting and dividing over things that are not important to God. I know it was Paul that said this in Corinthians, where they were arguing over baptism and who baptized me. This person baptized me, and this person baptized me. And Paul was like, you know what? I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. I was sent to preach the gospel. So I love that verse because he's telling us what was important. They're arguing about baptism. He's like, I don't even care about that. I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. So again, we're fighting over these things for no reason. Any questions? Good, because I don't have the answer. No. So I'm going to read here. He says, accept other believers who are weak in the faith. And don't argue with them about what you think is right or wrong. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Think about that. Not to be arguing with one another about who's right or who's wrong, but understanding that what we eat or what we drink, they were going through the same thing in the first century. Arguing and dividing amongst each other for things like what you're eating, what you're drinking, you're not circumcised, this day is holy. They were dividing over the same type of stuff we are today. And he says that none of that really matters. It's living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Why can't we take heed to Paul's words? So there's a concept I'm going to give to you right now. And there's different ways of looking at this. There could be a negative way and a positive way, and I'm not taking the negative way. I'm looking at the positive way. And it could be called theological plurality, and sometimes it's used to suggest that all religions are the same, and that's not what I'm all suggesting here. I'm using this within the body, this term today. So this is what I mean. There are many Christians who are called. They are sincere. They are trained. They are equally prayerful. And yet they don't agree on biblical issues. Some people within the same church don't agree on biblical issues. I'm sure within this church, there's people who don't all agree on the same biblical issues. Okay? Including me, I'm a big walking contradiction. I'm non-denominational, but I attend a Pentecostal church. But I'm not Pentecostal. And people are like, then why the heck are you there? That's a long story, but I love my pastor. I love my church family. I love a lot of things that they teach, to be honest with you. I don't agree with everything they teach. I don't. And sometimes I get into debates a lot at church about that. I'm called Montes the dissenter and all kinds of stuff. Sometimes it's kind of funny with my friends there. But the one thing I love the most, and I was talking about this yesterday at the conference, why I go there, their faith. The way they believe in God for things is amazing to me. When something's going wrong, and last year I had a really tough year, I can't tell you how they rallied to me, hugged me, grabbed me. We're going to pray right now on our knees together. Right now, let's get down. We're going to pray. I'm going to fast with you. We're going to hold hands and pray, and we're going to believe God is going to move. We're going to believe he's going to answer this prayer. And the faith that I received being in that church has completely changed me. The fact that they really, most people pray, well, God, we need this, or God, thank you for that, and God, this or that and the other. But they pray expecting he's going to do it. And I believe him. I trust him. I believe the word. That's why I love my church. Don't agree with everything, again. But we can all be in one church and don't have to agree on every single issue. You guys would agree with that? Okay. We have to be smart enough to know that we don't know everything. We have to be smart enough to know that. Even after exegeting the scripture, many theologians don't agree. There's no way one person can get everything right. We can all be led by the Holy Spirit and still disagree on issues. Think about that. When it comes to the differences among God's people, like we read in that scripture, we don't need to say one is right or the other is wrong. We don't have to say that. But we have to understand something. Our gifts are unique and different. God uses differently. We take messages to people differently. They receive them differently, which is why there's so much diversity within the body. It has to be to carry that message forward. We should be free to study and preach what we believe. And other people should be free to reject it with the same amount of energy that I preached it. You should have the freedom to do that. As long as it's done in love, right? You should have that freedom to reject whatever I say. But I should have the freedom to say it. The last thing I want to touch on today, and probably the most important out of all of this, is love for one another. Our Lord and Savior tells us this, John 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. But this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Notice what Jesus did not say. They will know that you're my disciples by the church you attend. They would know you're my disciples by your denomination, right? They would know you're my disciples by how much you pray. They would know you're my disciples by how much you speak in tongues. They would know you're my disciples by the fancy clothes you wear to church. He didn't say any of that. It's by love. That's how they know us. It's by love. That is the thing that they recognize that we're believers. We got that, guys? Now, regarding your question about food, this is Paul, 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now, regarding your question about food, that has been offered to idols. Yes, we know that we all have knowledge about this issue. I love this part. But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Thank you. Remember, I go to a Pentecostal church, so I'm used to the amens. I'm used to the... And it's funny, because like I said, I'm not Pentecostal. I'm probably the quietest person in the church. I'm probably sitting there like this. And everybody else is like, hallelujah, amen, brother, ho! And I'm like sitting there like... So... So it's funny now, because now like I'm quiet, and I'm up here like, everybody's so quiet. I don't know how it feels to be up there, right? So we should never allow our denominations or our doctrinal differences come between us. We should not do that. We are serving together, united in one spirit as one body. We should never allow church traditions, articles of faith. We shouldn't allow any of these things separate us one from another. That's the work of man, not of Christ. Okay? Remember that. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to be a Pentecostal or a Baptist or Methodist. There's no scripture that tells us that. Man created all those things. And in doing so, created lots of divisions that weren't necessary. And don't get me wrong. I'm not against denominations. I'm not against articles of faith. I'm not against church tradition. I'm really not. Those things help bring order to churches. And I think that order is necessary. Without it, it would be chaos. So I'm in agreement with all of those things. My issue is just they shouldn't supersede us working with our brothers and sisters. That's my issue. And in closing, I can't help but what Jesus said. I have it here in John 15. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Think about that. No greater love. I want you guys just to think about that for a moment. To lay down your life for your friends. There's no greater love than that. One day, possibly, I may be called to lay down my life for you. Right? That may happen. As Christians, we know this. It's happened before, many, many times over the centuries. You may be called to lay down your life for him. You may be called to lay down your life for me. How can we do that if it's not from a place of love? How could we? What would make me die for somebody I don't know? What would make me do that? Except you love them. And except they're your brothers and your sisters. Has nothing to do with, I'm not going to die for you. You're a different denomination. Oh, no, I can't do it. If you were Baptist, we're good. But no, we don't do that. We can't look at it that way. Does that make sense, guys? When God looks down on us, he sees believers, non-believers, saved, unsaved. He doesn't see denominations, articles of faith. He doesn't see any of that stuff. You're either a believer or you're not a believer. So as believers, we are required or commanded to love one another, to walk in love with each other, despite those denominational differences. So I'm going to end like I started. My objective, my intent was not to change your minds, change the way you think, just challenge the way you think. And I hope I did that today. I hope I did that. I'm going to leave you with a quote that you and I have talked about many times, right? St. Augustine, who said, in essentials, unity. Non-essentials, liberty. But in all things, charity or love, right? So we agree on essentials. We have to give each other freedom on the things that we don't agree with. But no matter what, it all has to be covered with love. Okay. So I'm going to pray really quick now. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for the opportunity of being here today. I just thank you, Lord, so much for allowing me to travel safe here today. I thank you for the warm welcome I received. I thank you for my many brothers and sisters that are sitting here today. Lord, I just love your people. I love your people, Lord. And I just pray that, Father, that we get this in our hearts, that we are to love despite our differences, despite our diversities, that actually our diversities make us stronger. We are made stronger when we understand that we need each other, Father. So I just pray that there's unity in the body. I just pray right now, Father, for everyone's needs here being met. You know what's in their heart, Lord. You tell us in the word that you know what we need even before we pray. So you know the needs of everyone here, Father. I just pray that you meet their needs, Father. I just pray that you keep them safe, that you keep them on the path that you have intended for them to walk, Lord. And Father, I just pray right now for the pastor, that you have given him a responsibility to shepherd this house. That responsibility has not come easy. And I just pray that everyone here keeps the pastor lifted in prayer. Sometimes we don't know what the pastor has to go through behind the scenes, the struggles that pastors have to endure, the sacrifices that pastors have to make, and sometimes the stress that a pastor has to bear for his church. So I pray that you keep the pastor lifted up. I pray that everyone here keeps him lifted up, never forgetting that he too is a man in need of prayer, in need of encouragement. So, Father, I just pray that you keep him strong and that you keep him lifted up. And I just pray this right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.